Good morning, my friends, and a blessed Easter Sunday to you all. May the Lord of glory, the Lord of grace, the Lord Jesus, who is alive from the dead, bless you in his great salvation and the fullness of joy today. My friends, because he lives, we live in him. And because he has conquered death, we shall not die. Because the Lord is alive from the dead, then death's power over us has been broken, and we have come to God through our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And by his resurrection, he has brought us to God. We give him praise and thanks. Well, my friends, we want to look at different scriptures today, various scriptures which will lead us to rejoice in Christ. Let us now pray. Father, we thank you for this great and awesome thing that you have done, sending your Son to us so that he died on the cross and that he arose from the dead to destroy death's power over us and to justify us. And so we rejoice today that Jesus is alive and we are alive in him. Bless your wonderful word to us. Bring souls to rejoice in Christ because he came to save sinners. May they find Christ even this day, Lord, and give you glory and thanks. And we thank you, Lord. Words fail us, but we thank you for this wonderful thing you've done for us in Jesus and his resurrection. In Christ's name, amen and amen. And so, my friends, we've been thinking and talking about the cross, where it is that his sacred head was wounded. One man put it this way: Jesus, with grief and shame weighed down, now scornfully surrounded with thorns, thine only crown. O sacred head, what glory, what bliss till now was thine. Yet though despised and gory, I joy to call thee mine. What thou, my Lord, hast suffered was all for sinners' gain. Mine was the transgression, but thine the deadly pain. Lo, here I fall, my Savior. 'Tis I deserve thy place. Look on me with thy favor. Vouchsafe to me thy grace. And so because the Lord came, as the Scripture says, and because he laid down his life for us, salvation has come to us. We find in Luke chapter 23, in verse 26, that the Bible says, "Now as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women also, who mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry? There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And the Bible tells us in Luke's Gospel that the Lord died on the cross. In verse 45, then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. Verse 46, and when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. And then Luke tells us about how it is that Jesus appeared to people, certain people, at his resurrection. And he appeared to Mary Magdalene, and he appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he spoke with them. And then it is that the disciples were blessed with this vision of Christ. He appeared to the disciples and said, Peace to them. And in verse 38 of Luke chapter 24, the word says, And he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. And then in verse 46, Luke 24, verse 46 tells us, then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And so, my friends, the glorious gospel was believed on. The Lord, raised to life from the dead, was seen by selected people that God the Father selected. Certain people saw him, his witnesses, and their lives were forever changed. And they came telling and preaching the good news. In the course of time, at God's appointed time, Saul of Tarsus met the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, and by the grace of God was born again and believed in Jesus, was made a new creature in Christ, and was commissioned by the risen Lord Jesus, the ascended Christ, who sat upon the throne of God. Christ commissioned him and told him to go and preach good news, the gospel, to the Gentiles. Paul was faithful to that great commission, and we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that Paul, the man who was forever changed when he met with the resurrected Christ, declares to us, beginning in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you receive and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. And so, my friends, as we rejoice and worship the Lord Christ today, I want to encourage you with precious truth from 1 Corinthians 15. Because he is alive, because he changed Paul, because Paul came and preached and received the Word of God, because Paul has spoken the Word of God to us, because we are hearing it from the Holy Bible today, we glorify God for the resurrection of the dead. And my friends, we see in 1 Corinthians 15 wonderful verses in this great chapter of God's Word, and this truth is truly life-transforming truth. We learn that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is also called the Holy One in Acts 3:14. That's a name for God himself found in the Old Testament in 2 Kings 19:22. Here, in Acts 3:14, Peter declares in calling Christ the Holy One that he is God. He proclaims the deity, the godhood of Christ Jesus. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, who truly died on Calvary's cross, though he had never sinned. He had never broken God's law. God's law is summarized in that God requires of all people everywhere that they love him and love their neighbors as themselves. The scripture says that he truly was buried, that Christ evidenced a real death, not merely a lapse of consciousness or pretense. And wonderfully for us, Christ is raised to life from the dead to save men from death, as the Scripture foretold. Psalm 16:9-11 and Psalm 68:18. The resurrection of Christ and the saints is the central truth of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Acts 24:15 and other verses in the Bible tell us of the resurrection of all people who have ever lived, and that it will take place. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. The resurrection of Jesus and those who believe in him is a cornerstone in the structure of God's plan of salvation. His great purpose in saving men from spiritual and physical death, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. We understand from God's word that we die physically because of our sin, and that our souls also die and are eternally punished because of our sin, unless we are saved, that is, rescued from physical and spiritual death by God himself. Let's note key truths, revealing truth, life-transforming truth that's contained in 1 Corinthians 15, the Holy Scripture, the Lord's word to us. First, Christ is resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15:12. There is no uncertainty in the declaration. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? To be resurrected means to be raised up, or to be raised up by a rising from the dead. Secondly, Christ's resurrection was eyewitnessed by many people in 1 Corinthians 15:6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Thirdly, Paul preached Christ's death and resurrection. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. That's found in 1 Corinthians 15:11. And 1 Corinthians 15:42 tells us that Christ's resurrection is not merely a possibility, but reality, a historical fact. For with God nothing will be impossible, Luke 1:37 says. 1 Corinthians 15:42 says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. But now Christ is risen from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15:20. We see that Christ's resurrection evidences and confirms the resurrection of all. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen, the Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 15:13. Christ has conquered death in his resurrection, and he will raise up all men in his dominion and majesty and sovereignty, in his rule. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet, 1 Corinthians 15:25. Christ's resurrection persuades us, convinces us, leads us to trust in him and repent of our sins. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, John 16:13. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:56-57. The resurrection involves a transformation of the person spiritually and physically. As a planted seed is transformed into grain, and what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some grain, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body, 1 Corinthians 15:37-38, so is the resurrection. As there are differences in types of flesh and change from one type to another, all flesh is not the same flesh, But there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds, 1 Corinthians 15:39. So there will be a change from a corruptible to an incorruptible body for the resurrected. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. 1 Corinthians 15:42. As the heavenly bodies vary in appearance, there are differences, change, and variation evident between the sun, moon, and stars, for instance. So the human body will be changed at the resurrection and will be at great variance with the present body. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. 1 Corinthians 15:44. The corruptible, mortal, and earthly human body will be transformed by God into an incorruptible, immortal, and spiritual body fitted for eternity. That is, a glorified body which cannot decompose and which will exist forever in heaven or hell. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. 1 Corinthians 15:53. God prepares us, that is, He calls us to prepare for the resurrection of the dead by finding eternal life and forgiveness of sins through faith and repentance. A change of mind resulting in giving ourselves fully to God, to truly live for God and no longer for ourselves in Jesus. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you also are saved if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. And so the wonderful truth of 1 Corinthians 15, my friends, is that because Christ is alive, all people shall be raised up. Christ the first fruits. That is, Christ the first and best raised up, the first and best man is raised up. And we see in this his clear teaching in 1 Corinthians 15 that we must prepare, because as he is glorified, raised to life from the dead, so it is that all human beings will be glorified. That is, raised up from death to be glorified by God and to exist forever, either in heaven or hell. You see, Paul was so convinced of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus that is exactly his message, and he did not vary his message. He constantly, faithfully, fully preached Christ's death and resurrection and salvation for sinners. I remember at one point in my life considering the possibility that God would raise the dead, and I concluded early on that it wasn't possible. I didn't believe in God, and I therefore thought that it was impossible that the dead could be raised up. But when I began to understand and finally to come to the knowledge that indeed there is a God, then I began to see in my own heart the possibility that God, who creates all people, can also raise people up from the dead. That made sense to me. And soon after that, I was truly saved. And I was saved because of the glorious truth of the resurrection. My first considerations were about the possibility of the resurrection. I then began to see that it was not only possible, but that the scripture declared that it actually happened. And it was soon afterward that I believed the truth that Christ is raised to life from the dead. And I understood the scripture to mean to me that as a sinful man, I too would be raised up, and that I must therefore prepare to meet God. I soon repented of my sins. I soon trusted in Christ when these glorious truths took hold in my heart, dear friend. And so it is that in the resurrection, the scripture is clear. He reigns over all things. He is alive from the dead. He has conquered death. And he has been given by God all dominion Christ Jesus is the true King who reigns upon the throne of God. And He is alive from the dead to judge the living and the dead. The resurrection, my friends, is given to us to help us to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said He would come alive again from the dead. And He did come alive from the dead. That resurrection gloriously was witnessed by many people, as the scripture says, by over 500. And we see that 1 Corinthians 15 reveals wonderful truth to us about what the glorified bodies shall be like. The Puritan Richard Baxter makes comment about that. What sort of body is the resurrected body? And he writes, if a skillful workman can turn a little earth and ashes into such curious transparent glasses as we daily see, and if a little seed that bears no show of such a thing can produce the more beautiful flowers of the earth, and if a little acorn can bring forth the greatest oak, why should we once doubt whether the seed of everlasting life and glory, which is now in the blessed souls with Christ, can by Him communicate a perfection to the flesh that is dissolved into its elements? And Ezekiel Hopkins writes, many blessings are promised to our outward man here in this life and hereafter. It is to be made a glorious and incorruptible body, like unto the glorious body of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be clothed with light and crowned with rays, never more to suffer injuries without or diseases within. And so Thomas Adams makes comment about Christ, the great prototype. Christ, like the sun eclipsed by the moon, got Himself out by His resurrection. And as the sun by the moon, He was darkened by them to whom He gave light. His death did justify us. His resurrection did justify His death. He buried the law with Himself and both with honor. He raised up the gospel with Himself and both with glory. His resurrection was the first stone of the foundation. In Christ shall all be made alive. And the last stone of the roof. For God assures us that all come to judgment by this token, that He raised Him up from the dead, Acts 17:31. Satan danced on his grave for joy when he had him there once. He thought him sure enough, but he rose again and trampled on the devil's throne with triumph. This is the faith peculiar to Christians. His resurrection is not only the object of our faith, but the example of our hope. Thomas Watson said about the resurrection, we are more sure to arise out of our graves than out of our beds. Praise the Lord. And Thomas Watson also makes comment, my friend, oh, how precious is the dust of a believer. Though the world mind it not, yet it is precious unto God. The husbandman has some corn in his barn, and he has other corn in the ground, and the corn that is in the ground is as precious to him as that which is in the barn. We rejoice in Christ, who this day rose up from the grave, who rose up to rise up our bodies, to raise us from the dead, to perform His promises. Praise the Lord. And so, my friends, we take great joy. We declare that God has raised up His Son. We declare that Jesus the Lord is alive now and forevermore. We declare this Easter morning that Christ, the first fruits, is alive, but all shall be made alive. All shall be raised up, and the saints shall be gathered to God, and the damned shall go to their place for eternal ages of judgment. All shall rise up from the dead, dear friend. And so we take joy in this great truth that God has revealed to us. We who are in Christ shall not die. The body shall sleep perhaps for a little while, but God will speak to us, and we shall come up from our graves forever to be with our God and give Him glory as His sons, we who believe in Jesus. And so the gospel call comes out to all again this Lord's Day morning. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins and be prepared for the resurrection of the dead. Come to glorify Christ who raises the dead to eternal life. Father, we thank you for the glorious truth of the resurrection. And I pray, Lord, that this great truth will be proclaimed, that it will be trumpeted, that it will be announced, that it will be spoken forth, that it will be taught and preached in Uganda, all for the glory of God, this blessed day. And Lord, touch many, many lives by the powerful gospel, the word of the resurrection, and save your people. Have your great glory in that, Lord. We rejoice that Christ is alive, and because He lives, we live too. And so empower us, Lord. Fill us with joy. Fill us again by your wonderful spirit of grace and blessing and comfort. Lord, we have such blessing in Christ, and we pray, oh God, we pray that that blessing will come through us and touch many, many lives. May this be a wonderful day in the kingdom of God in Uganda. Lord, we pray that many will come under the power of the risen Lamb of God and be saved from their sins. And we pray that your church, your true church, will rejoice with the highest blessings this day of grace. We glorify you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And so, my friends, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ.